going to bring the message, and let's pray together, hey? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just want to pray now for the word that you have for each one of us. You knew a long time ago that this would be our day today. You knew a long time ago that this would be the things that we're facing and the trials that we're going through. So Jesus, now I just pray that you'll minister to each of us. I pray that we will sense your presence close to us. We will hear your voice. And Lord, that we will be able to step into new life with you, I pray. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Good morning, Longevity. Great to have you with us. This morning I want to preach on connection that leads to contentment. In the late 1990s, worship songwriter Matt Redman wrote the song Heart of Worship. This song was born from a period of apathy within Matt's home church, Soul Survivor in Watford, England. Redman's congregation was struggling to find meaning in its worship at that time. There's a dynamic missing, Redman said, so the pastor did a pretty brave thing. He decided to get rid of the sound system and the band, just for a season, and they gathered together with just our voices. His point was that we'd lost our way in worship, and the way to get back to the heart would be to strip everything away. Reminding his church family to be producers in worship and not just consumers, the pastor asked, "When you come through the doors on a Sunday, what are you bringing as an offering to God?" Matt says the question initially led to some embarrassing silence. But eventually people broke into songs and heartfelt prayers, encountering God in a fresh way. Before long, he says, we reintroduced the musicians and the sound system as we gained a new perspective in worship. We gained the perspective that worship is all about Jesus. He commands a response from the depth of our souls. And no matter what the circumstance and setting, the heart of worship, that song simply describes what occurred in that season. When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Well, a lot has been stripped away in recent weeks. At the beginning of this self-isolating and social distancing, I was thinking, Lord, you work all things together for good for those who are called according to your purposes and love you. What good is going to come out of this? Well, I think a lot of good is actually coming out of this. But one thing that is good, I believe, that's coming out of this is the opportunity for more time to spend by ourselves. Having the opportunity is for more time and some more time by ourselves. This morning I want to speak about the spiritual discipline of solitude. What is solitude? There's a big difference between solitude and loneliness. Loneliness is marked by a sense of isolation and one leaving one feeling that something's missing. Solitude is a state of being alone without being lonely. Richard Foster, a Christian writer on spiritual disciplines, writes this. Normally when we use the term solitude, we're referring to the state of being alone. But solitude also has the meaning of the absence of human activity. This is what we mean when we refer to the discipline. The purpose is not to be alone, but to experience the absence of human activity so that we can more fully experience the presence of God. Foster goes on to say that it's also inner fulfillment. He says that it is not firstly a place, but a state of mind and a state of heart. I believe solitude is a cure for loneliness, and it comes through greater connection with God. So let's look at how this can work. My first point this morning is greater connection with God comes firstly from slowing down. Mark 6:31, talking about Jesus and his disciples, says, "Then because so many people were coming and going, that they did not even have a chance to eat. So Jesus said to his disciples, 'Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest.'" When life got too busy for Jesus, he knew the cure was to find a quiet place and get some rest. John Ortberg, the writer of The Life You've Always Wanted, calls people that need to slow down, he calls them hurry sick. How do I know if I need to slow down? Well, you've probably hated the last few weeks. Here's some other tips, some questions we can ask ourselves. How often do I do the following while driving? Eat, drink coffee, monitor the radio, shave or apply makeup, or talk on the phone. Number two, do I have excess clutter made up of things? For example, books I've never read and not likely to, excess clothes we don't need, or other things we don't need or don't use. Thirdly, do I tend to be superficial in my thinking or my relationships? Fourthly, do I have sunset fatigue? What he means by this is that when we come home at the end of the day, are we too tired and too drained or too preoccupied to love the people to whom we've made the deepest promises? Fifthly, do I find myself rushing even when I don't need to? Number six, is there underlying tension that causes harsh words? Number seven, have I lost my sense of gratitude and wonder? It's been interesting in recent weeks, I've found my sense of gratitude and wonder returning in greater quantities. And number eight, do I indulge in self-destructive escapes from fatigue like food, entertainment or alcohol? If we answered yes to any of these, try doing some of these. Now these are fun. Firstly, over the next little while, especially when we come out of self-isolation, deliberately drive in the slow lane. Instead of trying to pass the other drivers, say a little prayer that God would bless them. Secondly, for a week, eat your food slowly, forcing yourself to chew your food properly before swallowing. Thirdly, over the next little while, look carefully to see which checkout line is the longest and slowest. Then get in it. And let a person get in front of you. And fourthly, go through a day without wearing a watch or having your phone on you. Some great ways to intentionally just slow down. Often people worry that if they don't hurry, they'll accomplish less. In fact, researchers have found that there's no correlation between hurry and productivity. Some of you know me in the context of trying to model and teach good boundaries, but for me, this was a life-saving lesson. In the early days of ministry, I'd book appointments with people, and my diary looked like this. An appointment at 9 o'clock, another one at 10 o'clock, another one at 11 o'clock, then lunch, then another appointment at 1 o'clock, then 2 o'clock, then 3 o'clock, then 4 o'clock, then I'd finish. And you say, how did you do that? Well, I didn't. I was always running late. I was always chasing from one appointment to the next. Then one day, God led me to Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. And my boundary journey began. I still struggle, but now I control my time better, and God has a better chance of getting the time he deserves, and I have a better chance of getting the connection that I need. Not only do we need to slow down, but we need to slow down regularly. Which leads me to my second point this morning, which is greater connection with God needs regular attention. Greater connection with God needs regular attention. Matthew 14:23 says another example of Jesus finding time to get away. He said after he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Now this verse comes after Jesus had just fed the thousands with the loaves and the fish. If we go back to verse 13, it says that Jesus was going to a solitary place. But then he came across the crowd, so he began to teach them, and then he fed them. But then he still got his solitude. Jesus wasn't legalistic and dogmatic about his time alone, but neither did he postpone it indefinitely. When he had met the people's needs, he then went and found his solitude. We need to keep our eyes open for opportunities for solitude every day. Maybe early in the morning, maybe early morning moments in bed before the rest of the family wakes up, or a morning coffee with Jesus. Maybe time alone in the car on the way to work, or just slipping outside at night time before bed to wonder at the stars and just to reconnect with God. We need to take the opportunity of 2 minutes here, 5 minutes there, throughout our day where we can be quiet and still. It's important that we find regular time and a regular time and place. For me these days, it's often been laying on the front lounge with the dog early in the morning before the kids are up. Dog's almost a Christian. In bed, before I go to sleep, I always like to read the word and have some time of prayer. Worship times in the car have been great, especially the last 2 years going to Sydney to study, having an hour of worship on the way down especially. Trying to keep my eyes open is important. Spiritual retreat days are another way, usually once a year. I used to go and find a room at the old Silver's Discipleship School where I could just hide for a day and have a day with God. And when our connection becomes greater, I believe so do our opportunities. brings me to my final point this morning. Greater connection with God leads to greater opportunities. Luke 4:1 tells us this. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert. It's interesting to me that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert, into a time of solitude, into a time of testing, actually into a time that launched him into his ministry. It was a season that ended for Jesus after 40 days that brought a new season, the beginning of his ministry. If one good thing has come out of all this season that we're in, is that we've had more opportunity to connect with God and go deeper with him to prepare us for what's next. Really interesting that the word quarantine from the 17th century comes from the Italian word quarantina, which means 40 days. The original idea of quarantine was 40 days of detention or isolation imposed upon ships, persons, animals, or plants on arrival at a port or place when suspected of carrying some infectious or contagious disease. What I find interesting about this is the idea of the 40 days. 40 is an interesting number in the Bible, used for significant times, just like Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness. If you look at the Hebrew history and the Jewish history, 40 is a number that, when used in terms of time, represents a period of probation or trial or chastisement. Not judgment, but chastisement. It's also the product of 5, which stands for grace, and 8, which stands for a new beginning. Interesting. Are we on the edge of a new beginning? Have we had a time to go deeper with God to prepare us for what he has next? In this season, have you been lonely, or have you been allowing isolation to cause you to move from loneliness to solitude, from greater connection with God, and therefore greater contentment? Some of you have heard this story before, but it was a significant time in my life where God moved me from loneliness to solitude. I left everything and everyone I knew to go to the Salvation Army's 9-month discipleship training program. I thought it was going to be awesome living in community for 9 months, and it was, except for Saturdays. Saturdays was our day off, and of the 8 people on site, 2 went off to Sydney, 2 went off together, and the rest were introverts, so they went off by themselves, leaving me to get in touch with my deep loneliness. One Sunday afternoon, feeling totally unloved and uncared for, I wasn't, but that's how I felt. I drove my car up to Swansea Heads and sat and played a song over and over again. Some of the lines were, "Lord, you're here. Lord, you're near. Your love surrounds me always." As I listened and wept, God's presence became very tangible in the car. And I felt the Lord say, "Are you still lonely?" And I answered, "No." And then I felt him respond, "But you're the only one in the car." For the first time in my life, I had moved from loneliness to solitude. I had found my needs met in God's presence instead of the presence of people. I found a connection with God that he wanted me to find, a connection that brought me contentment, a connection that would serve me well for the years ahead. Some opportunities for solitude are forced upon us, but if we use the time to develop our connection with God, then the best is yet to come, and may be just around the corner. May we use this time to strengthen and deepen our connection with him, that we may be ready for what he has next. I'm going to go into a time of reflection with the next song. And in this time, just encourage you to think over this time. Just take some quiet time, reflect on the song. Just think about, I believe in many ways, it's been a horrible season, but also God does work all things together for good. And he's, one of the good things I believe that he's done in this season is cause us to slow down. Someone said, push the reset button. And I believe that God is helping us reset for what's next, to make sure that our relationship with him is first, and that it's deep, that it's authentic, and it's as strong as it needs to be. I pray that you reflect in this time. Maybe we only have a week of self-isolation left. Maybe we only have 2 weeks or 3 weeks. But may we use that time to go deeper and stronger with God, so that we're prepared for whatever new thing he has for us in the next season.